Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, intern Robert here with you on this Friday morning. And we welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program, as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. Jared, good morning. How are we doing?
Outstanding. How are you guys?
We're good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Before we get into the Titans, I do want to get your thoughts on some college football. Your expectations for Vanderbilt and Tennessee heading into the 2024 college football season.
Boy, that's tough. You know, I think with Vanderbilt, it's like, you know, last year was such a disappointment, and they've made so many changes. And yet, I don't think that this new scheduling in the SEC, I don't think this helps Vanderbilt very much. So I'm going to put Vanderbilt at, what, 3 or 4 wins? And I worry that 3 wins might be bad for the program. And then with Tennessee, I mean, I think that Tennessee is in a position where they probably should be somewhere around the 12th to 16th best team in the country. And if you're in between, you know, 10 and 16 or 12 and 16, you're right there on the cusp of the playoff. And so I think Tennessee, you know, I expect Tennessee to score a bunch of points with Nico at quarterback. I expect Nico to make it and be the real deal. And so because of that, I think that puts you right there around the top 15, even if the defense isn't that good or even if some of the other SEC teams are better. But I still think that now with the expanded playoff, Tennessee's a team that's going to be worth watching the entire season.
Hey, I don't mean to go off topic, but I just saw something in the text line about you, Jared. Did you tell people something about yourself?
I think we probably keep that to
okay. No, I'm asking because there's people talking specifically about what it is, so I thought maybe this was something that happened.
Yeah,
this is not something that happened.
We made an Instagram post last night, and we're all very, very excited in the Stillman household. And
well, tell the listeners.
Well,
come on. No, you can't go on Instagram and then not let us break news on our show about your life.
Well,
let's
not
go.
Breaking news if I already posted on Instagram. So my girlfriend and I are having a kid. We're really, really excited about it.
Yes, Jared, yes!
And, Christmas time. So it's, people ask me, they're like, are you excited? I'm like, I am excited, but I'm also a lot of things.
Yes.
And I'm sure you guys can relate to that. So it's very, very exciting.
We're very excited for you. This is, I mean, there's a lot of things going on. This is a very tragic day in sports.
Yeah, I woke
absolutely
up and saw the Johnny Hockey stuff and just horrific.
Absolutely horrible, but this is beautiful news. For all of your terrible sports takes, Jared, I believe that you're going to be a great dad.
You know, I told Ryan Porth we were having a kid, and he said that he laughed because he kept thinking about all the times I used to sit there and say to Floyd, you know, Floyd, do you think I'm ever going to have kids? And he'd laugh and basically say no every time. But I also keep thinking back to how I used to joke, and I still kind of joke about this now, about how if I ever one day have a kid, and I'm having a boy, but if I ever one day have a kid, how I've always joked, you know, hey, I'm not going to let my kid root for the Titans. I'm going to tell my kid to root for a proud franchise like the Steelers or like the Packers, like Robbie, you know, the Titans traitor and is a Packer fan now. Just because Dad and Grandpa have been through way too much over the years being Titans fans. But now we'll actually see if I'll put my money where my mouth is on raising my kid.
Well, congratulations.
By the way, thank you. Robbie and I have known this for a long time and never uttered it.
Not
so
a word.
Even though Jared shares every personal text on the air that I ever send him. You know, I hope you took note of how we did not break your news for you, pal.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, when you text me in the middle of a segment, I figure that is because you want that text.
No, that's not all you share.
But I overshare.
Oh, anything I send you it becomes fodder for your show.
Well, that's because you say a lot of stupid things.
Uh-huh.
Just like your Mason Rudolph stupid takes.
I was going to say, I hope that your kid grows up being a big Mason Rudolph fan.
I mean, we don't want to get into Mason Rudolph, right?
I mean,
we do not want
to. I definitely do.
Well, that's fine. Then you do. Then go ahead. Because you know you think he's as dumb as I do on this, so go ahead.
Well, I'm not arguing anymore.
You think Mason Rudolph's a top three backup quarterback?
I do not think he's top three backup quarterback.
Listen to him change.
And look, we talked about this yesterday. You know, when you start going through the list, is he top 10? I don't know. But I will say the quarterback win stat that you brought up yesterday for the backup quarterback, not a great one, buddy. Not your best one.
Okay, what about the money?
What about the money?
Yeah, are you not valued by the league by what you're being paid?
That one is a little bit more of a better argument than the QB win stat.
What about the Pro Football Focus ones where we couldn't find Mason Rudolph? Yeah. God. So by what metric, by what objective metric are we supposed to go by other than Joe just say, I think he's top three. Actually, I think he's top four. Actually, I think he's top 10. What metric are we supposed to go by to prove that this guy's any good?
Well, it's definitely not quarterback wins when you've got some former starting quarterbacks in the league who either haven't been good in 4 years.
Because this guy has always sucked. Those guys at one point might have been good.
Well, at one point's great. I'm not interested in it at one point. What about right now?
Okay, I'll still take Joe Flacco.
Case Keenum is what you said. Who is the third string for the Texans and who is not going to play this year. You said Case Keenum.
Yeah. Let me see. Was there a game last year where Case Keenum started at quarterback for the Texans?
Well, yes, there was.
Came in there and won a game.
Wow, is there a game Mason Rudolph won last year?
Yeah, he beat the quarterback that's ahead of Mason Rudolph right now.
Hey, yeah, and Mason Rudolph also led the league in passer rating the last 3 weeks of the season. It was 118.02. Because I keep getting I get stuff from people who are so appalled by your argument that I'm like, I don't even want this information. But here's the thing about this whole thing is I'm sitting there yesterday, I'm like watering the flowers. And we're, like, getting ready for my family to come to the town this weekend and stuff. So, of course, you have to clean the house. And I get this text from Jared, like, in the middle of the day. And it's like, Mason Rudolph, 16th in pay, and all this stuff, you know. And I'm like, I cannot wait for you to have a kid because you have way too much time in your hands. Like, how the hell are you even trying to perpetuate this? No one cares about a Mason Rudolph argument, and we're continuing to waste time with it.
He said he wasn't going to comment on it.
Let me just say this.
Yeah, I know. But you've done a good job of yelling for me today. I appreciate it.
Let me just, in the spirit of the future, Mr. Stillman.
Yes.
Some of us prepare for our show, Joe. We take it very seriously, and we work during the day to get ready for the show. And as I was getting
preparing
ready for the show,
with Mason Rudolph stats.
Going
oh, goody.
Through the quarterback salaries. As you told me that.
Now that Mason sounds Rudolph like a good program right there. Let's talk about Mason Rudolph's stats.
I mean, you could say what you want, but I got to tell you that I've worked very, very hard on this program to research so I can be fair and balanced with my sports opinions, unlike you that just says crap like, I think he's the third best. No, I think he's the fourth best. No, I think he's the 10th best.
I will say, I do think the original comment from Rex Road of him being a top five backup quarterback may have been hot take.
If you watch Hard Knocks with the Giants, which
I still feel good about top 10 right now.
Okay. If you watch
and Jared
Hard Knocks,
still hasn't provided anyone. I mean, Case Keenum. Good God.
I gave you the
great
list of the
playoff win in 2017.
Guys, they are paid more money than Mason Rudolph.
Hey man,
you know
what? How about Dave Craig? He was a hell of a backup for Jim Zorn. Why aren't we including him?
I mean, if we were to do Family Feud style, where it's we surveyed 100 people, we asked them who is the top backup quarterback in the NFL. We got 10 answers, and you got up there and you said to Steve Harvey, Mason Rudolph, you get the. And Steve Harvey would look at you like an idiot. Like when somebody says something like, you know, we talked to 100 people and we asked them, what is the number one thing you'll find on the bathroom counter? And somebody says, a shoe. And Steve Harvey just stops and he looks at him and is like, sir, are you stupid? That is what Steve Harvey would look at you if you said Mason Rudolph on Family Feud.
You know what I did today? I went to the text line, and I just because I didn't hear. Apparently, you
see.
Apparently, you don't go
on the text line in the middle of the segments and sit there and yell at the texters the way you do versus Jared versus Joe.
Oh, I love it. No, if I have my computer, that's what I'm going to do every time now. Jared versus Joe. I'm just going to go in there and just completely trash you. But I went to the. I didn't hear your whatever. That's why I got people texting me. It's like, yep, Jared's being dumb talking about Mason Rudolph. But I went to the text line today to check. I found when you obviously were talking about it. And the entire text line of your listeners are like, Jared, this is stupid. Shut up. I mean, why are you talking about this right now?
It sounds like you need to stop criticizing me for having too much time on my hands. If you're going back to the text line at like 4:20 yesterday.
It took me
my
about
show
30
very
seconds.
Popular. I get a lot of texts, so you got to go all the way down. And this show is run by the text line, so I know there's a bunch of texts in there that you got to go all the way down on.
Yeah, it took
me
about 30 seconds.
Show starring the text line. That's what we did.
Exactly. I like that we've got a lot of thoughts about your fatherhood. I got one here who says, I just went from congrats, Jared, to I already don't like the kid. Don't make us not like your kid, Jared. Keep it to yourself.
I used to always talk about political talk, right? And I
think good. Let's do that.
Exactly. I think I could do political talk radio. Like, I think I could do it and be very good. And I think you guys have both probably agree that there's more money in pandering. I think Clay Travis is probably a good example of this. Like, there's more money in picking a side and pandering to the side of politics than there is sitting there talking about the Titans' backup quarterback.
Probably fair.
And so
he's
I think
with
I could
BS.
Make.
Don't stop. Don't get me started on this
a
crap.
Boatload of money, you know, doing political talk. I really do. But I've always thought to myself, like, I don't want to do that because, number one, I don't want to get on the air and talk about this stuff every day. But also, like, if I ever have a kid one day, I don't want my kid to go to school and it'd be like, you know, your dad said this about taxes, or your dad said this about abortion. I don't want that. It's much more fun when it's sports.
I agree.
And now that that's a reality, I'm like, yeah, I'm probably glad that I never made the choice to go to political talk.
Last thing for you. Charles Robinson said some what I would call concerning things about Ernest Jones on our program yesterday about the Rams.
I heard Charles was reporting before they traded for him that they wanted 2 first-round picks for Ernest Jones.
Mm. Good luck with that.
Good one, Jared. Good one. Yeah, he was the only guy in the NFL other than all of NFL media saying it, but sure.
Charles, he's the only one that I heard that said 2 first-round picks for Vrabel.
Really?
Well, I mean, who else said it?
I thought you'd do work. Charles. Don't you listen to every
Who else said
show?
It, Joe?
Oh, plenty of people said that.
Oh, plenty of people. Okay, that's
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Did anything Charles say yesterday especially concern you about the Ernest Jones situation for the Titans heading into this year?
No. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I do think that it's a red flag what Charles said. And I do not think Charles is making it up. Just like I don't think Charles made up the 2 first-round picks for Vrabel thing, even though that didn't come to fruition. I don't think Charles is making up the concerns the Rams had. It's obvious the Rams didn't want the guy. They got rid of him for nothing. I'm surprised Atlanta, you know, because I've never heard of their middle linebackers with Raheem Morris. They didn't get involved. So that's a red flag. But given what they're not paying for Ernest Jones, like, they're not paying him $15 million. They didn't use a first-round pick to go get him. I mean, if the guy comes in and he's a lazy, you know, fatty, and he wants a new contract and he's not going to play hard or do what the coaches say, then they can cut him, move on, and it's fine. If he ends up being the player he was last year, he's probably one of the better defensive players on what might be a pretty good defense in terms of just overall talent if everybody stays healthy, especially the 2 corners that are already hurt. I think that is this is a total, you know, full-on reward, very little risk. He's making $3 million. The cap's fake anyways, as we saw with the Cleveland Browns yesterday, gentlemen.
Proof.
Here we go.
How does a team, Joe, that spends $80 million over the cap have the most cap space in the NFL?
You got us, Jared. You finally proved
please
it.
Please answer.
No. Robbie said that was it for you, buddy.
No more topics?
Yeah, I mean, seriously. Like, we can't run through the wheel of Jared today.
I do have to read this text, though, because it kind of wraps things up, I think, very nicely here. This is from Weston Clarksville.
Okay.
Jared's kids' first words are going to be right tackle.
Nice.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. Jared, congratulations. Shout out to Rex Road for breaking your news on the air. Thanks for taking time to be with us. And we'll be listening
to 2:00. Becomes fodder for us now. I'm excited about it. We can
Sounds
do a lot
good.
With this.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Jared. We'll react to what Jared had to say coming up next. Get your thoughts on the Titans as well. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Sunday for coverage of the Cookout Southern 500. Coverage will be on following the National Sounds game. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at thegamenashville.com. Also, make sure you tune in to 93.3 FM. Totally Hits Nashville tomorrow for MTSU football. Blue Raiders open the season at home, taking on Tennessee Tech. Pregame starts at 4:30, kickoff at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Text line's flowing right now. YouTube chat's flowing. We appreciate your participation, as always. Here on Robbie and Rex Road in the text line.
I'm glad that, I mean, we've known about this for a while. I'm glad that we can finally talk freely about publicly about Jared being a father. Well, I feel like there's a lot of potential with this topic.
I did love the let's go ahead and keep that in house. And talk about it, Jared. Yeah. Just do it.
Can't go on Instagram and then what?
That's true. I feel like when you make the Instagram decision, you're ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Sitting there trying to mute us, embargo that information on our show? Hell no. We needed some happy news today.
Do I need to officially make my list and go through each backup quarterback and where Mason Rudolph ranks?
That's a good idea. Yeah, give me your ranking of Mason Rudolph.
Okay. Like right now?
Sure. Let's do it. I mean, we need to end Mason Rudolph as a topic pretty soon.
Yeah, well.
Like, I think, you know.
I mean, we may have already reached that point.
But, yes, I'd like to get you on the record.
All right. Well, I'll look through that later. We'll have a grand announcement on Monday where I've got him.
Oh, you're going to do it Monday.
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, I got to put some time into this, man.
Oh, that's right.
I got to match Jared's work.
You do. Well, maybe he has room in the film
room. I do have a spoiler for you, though.
Does he have room in the film room?
He will not be behind Case Keenum. That I can promise you. I don't know where Case Keenum is going to rank, but he will not be behind him.
I mean, this whole thing, again, I got this text from him, and then he, like, kept going with it. And I finally was like, I think I said, I can't wait till you have a kid. So you can, or I just said, like, go take a walk. Like, do something different. But I got this other text from an unnamed texter on my text line to refute Jared, and it's, like,
a book.
It's very long.
Yeah.
And, it's very good, though. Led the league in passer rating last 3 weeks. You know, he was benched in 2019. I didn't know this. He had just been knocked out by Earl Thomas, then got the Myles Garrett helmet to the head, and then he was benched the following week. He wasn't all there. That's when he was benched for Duck Hodges, who threw four picks, and then Rudolph went back in. So again, Jared is trying to, first of all, even using stuff from 2019, who gives a crap? Also, doesn't have any of the context or facts around it.
Yeah.
I mean.
And need more Duck Hodges.
There's a lot more, too. There's a whole bunch more, too. And, you know, it's like another thing he said the other day is, well, Mike Tomlin's going to be a Hall of Famer. Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean that he can't make bad quarterback decisions. They picked Kenny Pickett in the first round, and then they immediately gave up on him. They're not very – like, since Roethlisberger, that organization kind of struggled with evaluating quarterbacks.
Who, by the way, was already there when Tomlin took over.
Yes. So, I mean, look, Mason Rudolph was good in camp. I liked the signing, and yeah, he's a top 10 backup in the NFL, per me.
Per Joe Rexon.
Source, me, top 10 backup.
So as you've had some time to stew on the comments from Charles Robinson yesterday, which were on our show, which, by the way, Charles Robinson, you can check it out every morning, every Thursday morning from 8 to 8:30 on our show. He essentially said yesterday that the Rams did not like the way that Ernest Jones showed up into camp, said he was out of shape. And that as camp went on, they were going to cut it. He had heard that they were going to cut Ernest Jones. They ended up trading him to the Titans for a fifth-round pick. Titans actually got a sixth back, so it was basically a pick swap. They just moved down. And they get Ernest Jones to come in. And we'll see what the contract situation with him now looks like. I would guess he's going to play this year, and then the Titans will figure it out after that. But at 24 years old, for a guy who has demonstrated himself to be a good player in the National Football League, you don't see that happen very often where you move on from somebody at that age. And we talked yesterday, it sounds like it's a little bit more complicated than the Rams just taking the position of, he's a middle linebacker and we're not paying that position. We're not doing it. So as you've reflected on that situation, the comments that Charles made on our show yesterday about the Rams' concern with maybe his approach heading into all this, should the Titans fans be concerned about Ernest Jones heading into the year?
No, I don't think they should be concerned. I think, look, it's another – you're adding another player and – you're still better than you were before. The Chance Campbell thing is tough. It'd be interesting to see, like, would this have gotten rolling if the Chance Campbell thing didn't happen? Chance Campbell, I think, was pushing to possibly play. I mean, I don't know if Chance Campbell was, like, going to threaten to start, but he, like, just like Jalen Harrell and some of these other guys in camp who clearly played well consistently and moved themselves up DMR, there are some camp performances that do matter and end up kind of paying off and standing on a football team. Chance Campbell was going to have some kind of role, I think. And so they've added a football player. I mean, what you hope, I don't think you'd be concerned. Just again, don't have the parade for your all pro linebacking core right now. Just wait and see. I mean, I think that, I think he should start over Jack Gibbons eventually. It'll be very interesting to see if they just plug him in and he's, you know, Quandre Diggs comes in, doesn't even get on the field, and it's like, yep, you're starting safety. Thanks, Elijah, right? And who's now gone. Is that going to happen with Ernest Jones? Is he just going to have a few days of practice here? And thanks, Jack. I mean, I know that there was some video I saw, I think TD added, of Jones and Murray working in tandem on some drops, yep. Which kind of, you know, would make
I mean, I hope he's ready to start.
Make it start right away?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. If he is, then I think that's something that should make you feel better about it. Because Jack Gibbons, look, he's not great. You'd rather have Jack Gibbons as a backup. It's not like he's like the worst football player in the world. Like, no. Jack Gibbons is like Cole Smith.
Yeah.
I know I've made the NWI Cole Smith comparison, but it's like, actually, like, he does some good things. He's fine, you know? But you can be better.
It's not Titans' version of Jonathan Joseph flying around out there where it's just no chance every time.
Right, where it's like, anyone else, please. Yeah. No, it's – so if he is instantly starting over him, then the Titans upgraded, right? I mean, it's not like they have to start him because they made this trade.
Yeah.
I just keep the expectations, you know, realistic. And hope that all this stuff and now all this talk is going to lead to a big season for this guy. It's a huge season in his career.
So let's say he comes in, plays well. At age 24, heading into 25, you giving him a new deal if you're the Titans? Like, are you paying the type of – let's say he's looking for $10 million plus per year at that spot. You doing that if you're Rand Carthon and the Titans?
Well, there are indications based on what those guys said about the order of things, which led to money with Ridley, right? That I would say they probably were going to pay Al-Shaair something in that range. So, I mean, Ernest Jones, I think what he has done, what he did with the Rams, if he's that player, then I think that's a little better than Azeez Al-Shaair.
Oh, I would agree.
So, sure.
But are you investing?
The cap's fake. We got confirmation that the cap's fake. Didn't you hear?
So, clearly, some teams do not want to pay the money for that position. I mean, you know, mixed into all the other stuff with the Rams, I do think that's still a part of this, right? Like, if they thought he was that important, would they have given up on him so quickly based on what he's actually put on tape on the football field? So, will the Titans be one of those teams where they're like, yeah, you know what, we do feel like it's important, and we will pay? Because, I mean, 2 years ago, and I know it's a different coaching staff, a different regime, but they did let David Long Jr. just walk right out the door.
And
injuries were a problem with him.
But they were. Yeah, they were. But I think that was a mistake. I mean, it was down the list of mistakes, but I didn't like that. I think it's important to have good linebackers. For all the great things the San Francisco 49ers have, you cannot tell me, if you watch that team play football, you cannot tell me that what they have, an inside linebacker, isn't a big part of their defense and their success. You know, obviously, you're going to pay those guys. But I'm just saying, why do you want to wander in the wilderness and bounce from guy to guy? If you can have some stability and at, you know, low eight figures, I think, yes.
Well, especially at age 25, which you'll be next year. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the Titans on the defensive side of the ball to get to coming up next. We'll have Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. The Rob Rant coming up at 745.
I feel like you're doing more rants, which is probably good. I think we should make it more the Rob rant. Can we do that?
You have some good ones.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Kaharski is taking away my confidence. Stilly's mentor, you know.
Yes.
That's why we need them together.
It's Palpatine and Vader, those two.
By the way, Jared,
right there together.
I'd like the listeners to know that Jared's still texting us about Mason Rudolph.
Yes.
I have responded to him. I hope we do not hear from him again today.
I got some tickets.
Please stop.
To squeeze to give away to Ryman Auditorium coming up tomorrow. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to squeeze at Ryman Auditorium tomorrow.
What time is that?
I don't know.
God,
I can find out.
I have to do college football watching. I would actually love to go see Squeeze. Can you? Are you going to play pulling muscles from a shell for me, or do I have to pull that muscle from the shell, Nick Keiser?
Total radio silence.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're asking for.
Squeeze, pulling muscles from a shell. I've been asking for this song for like weeks now, and you ignore me.
I'll make it the last song. No, I'll go grab it for you.
It's great. Who? Peep, this, text line. Back me up.
What's the song name?
Pulling Muscles from a Shell.
Okay.
It's an absolute jam. It's my favorite Squeeze song.
What a name for a song.
I'm sure some of your country songs have great titles, too.
I don't listen to country. Why do you just assume I listen to country, Boomer?
Well,
you big guy. We had a lot of country at your wedding. That was not your choice?
You big honky-tonk, badonkadonk guy?
What? So what's your favorite band?
My favorite band? Joe, I thought we've had this conversation. I like the Chili Peppers a lot. I like a lot of pop, too. I also listened to Post Malone's new album, which is country, by the way. Yeah, but it's got it has its own twist to it.
Okay. Well, I apologize.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. No, so I like other stuff, too. I like retro stuff, too. All
right. Yay or nay to Bleak 182.
We have no issues.
Yes.
There you go.
They got a new album, huh?
I don't know. Do they?
Oh, they've got a new album.
Okay. Well, then you're bigger.
How do you not
bigger
know this?
Bleak 182 fan than me, I guess. Yeah. Anytime anybody comes out.
I get bad news.
Anytime somebody who was popular in like the 90s and 2000s tries to come out with a quote-unquote new album, it usually doesn't end well. So I try to avoid those.
I agree. However, as I've said before, Foo Fighters' album that came out last summer is one of their best albums. So it does happen.
It does. Chef Rand on YouTube saying, the sign him now, talking about Ernest Jones. Price is only going to go up for Ernest Jones. Should the Titans consider signing his new contract now that the trade's been made? I think they should let him play and see where it goes from there.
Let him play some football. Look, I've said this. I think what Rand Carthon laid out at the press conference about his information and the medical people, I mean, he's naming names. That's good. And honestly, Charles, we know Charles is source in the NFL. He's been covering the NFL for 20 years. He didn't have anything on the knee. So I think that's – and that's, to me, would be the biggest concern of all, right? Yep. Is if there's actually something. Like, they can't have that many guys with, like, one guy doesn't know ACL and this guy doesn't practice. Like, so that's good. But the whole thing, the whole way it went down with the Rams, no, I think I'd watch him, see how he does for a few weeks in the program, in the franchise, in the culture, and on the field before I'm just immediately going to go pay him. I mean, how much is the price going to go up, you know? It's not. I mean, he's not going to break the bank. I'd wait.
Yeah, I would wait, too. I'm interested to see how he plays. You know, the question I brought up last segment of how willing are the Titans to invest in that spot? How willing should the Titans be to invest in that spot? Like, I don't know. Like, is middle linebacker a position where you feel like you can draft someone, let them play well for you for a few years, and then replenish that in the draft next time around? Like, I mean, they drafted Cedric Gray, and it's been nothing to this point. He's been hurt. There's no timetable for him coming back. Are they going to get a single thing out of Cedric Gray this year? I have no idea. It's starting to look like the answer is no. So, like, moving forward, as you're viewing that position, are you viewing it as, well, we just drafted Cedric Gray. He could be a player there for us. We don't have to go out and pay big money to have a spot like this, or like, is there a baseline of play that Ernest Jones reaches this year where they're like, yeah, we got to have this guy and we got to do what it takes to keep him?
No, it's a great point, because that is a significant pick. There was significant excitement about him. It obviously has gone sideways from a health perspective. He's on IR, but if they believe that the player is still in there, then what is Murray's deal? Murray signed a 2-year deal. Is that correct?
They signed so many of them, they all ran together.
Your future may be more, you know, Murray and Gray in your mind, right? And not paying this guy, even though he's only 24.
Two-year deal for Murray.
Yeah. So, the Gray aspect of it is interesting, because I don't think – if you actually think he's a starting caliber player and now you got him on a fourth-round rookie deal for years, yes, you would opt for that. Because why? Because the cap is real. And, yes, you have to be cap compliant – and yes, teams spend at the top of their rosters all the time, and it's flexible and it's a soft cap, but the mid-level spending is affected because you have to be cap compliant.
The Browns do have a lot of cap space.
They do.
They are paying a lot of money.
They are.
I'm just throwing it out
there. I know. What's awesome is, like, overthecap.com and stuff, like, they have every single transaction there. So for anybody who would like to – I mean, Jared never does that, though. He's too busy coming up with Mason Rudolph segments to ever actually look into the actual numbers and come up with the math of how it's real. It's right there for him on the internet.
Browns have the most cap space in the league, $51 million.
Yeah. This is a good talking point for the cap is fake.
I know.
I love it.
That's why I'm doing it.
I know. Thank you.
By the way, the Titans still have $12.8 million of cap space. So some moves still out there. If they need to make them, you can make them if you're Rand Carthon.
Could be. Like Kaharsky asked Rand about the cap, about rolling over the cap.
He did.
That's weird. If in this league that Kaharsky's been covering for 30 years, a guy who went to an Ivy League school is asking about the cap. Ooh. How is he not smart enough to know that it's fake?
Now we're talking up so Kaharsky's weird. Education on this program. How the hell are the Carolina Panthers $6 million, $6.7 million over the cap? Who are they paying?
So the cap is like extra real for them. It's only fake for some.
Who does Carolina have that they're paying?
God, that's a great question. They got Bryce Young as a rookie.
I mean, they're
not paying. That's a great question. I don't know.
They're not paying my guy, Xavier Leggett.
Or as he says it. Not yet.
Leggett.
I drafted my fantasy draft last night.
Did you?
The Athletic Detroit fantasy draft, for some reason, it was an absolute disaster of a draft. They're trying to do this keeper stuff. Disaster. But I drafted your guy Leggett late, and I'm kind of excited about it.
You should be. A good locker room glue guy for you, too.
Yes. The culture immediately improved.
Yeah, no doubt about that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. People upset with your song selection on the text line as well.
No one's liking the squeeze song? The other day, I had some supporters for this.
Daryl says the only squeeze song that matters is Tempted.
Well, that's a great song. That's the most famous. You guys know that song. If you hear Tempted, yes. You know that song. But I say Pulling Muscles from a Shell is a better song.
615.
They're going to jam them both tomorrow at the Ryman, I promise you.
625 is our phone number. The Rob Rant coming up next. Vols fans. If any made it to the first game yet, you're already upsetting me. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
I'm just sick and tired of our guys getting smashed down there. Smashed! We'll get ready to play Tennessee. We're incredibly outmanned at the end. Had four guys on the bench in foul trouble. Joke!
You listen to this program, you're going to end up smarter at the end of the day. It is that time of the day, the Rob Rant, here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning. Either the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant. At some point, we will have another nicked off, I think.
Yeah, he's a happy guy.
He's a happy guy.
Probably happy because I've made him listen to Squeeze.
We need to get a nicked off when Kuharski's in. That has the chance to have some sparks to it.
Explosive.
Yeah. Maybe directed at Kuharski.
Well, that's what it should be. You're right. Nicked off at Garcia. Start taking notes, man.
I can do that.
Start taking notes on the things about him that annoy you the most. And he offers a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a buffet. A lot of things to choose from there, man.
Pick your favorites.
Yes. Although.
Did you see his text to us?
I saw his text to us last night. Should I read it?
Sure.
So we got this text from Kuharski last night. And from this tweet. I have no idea who this person is, but apparently there's a 16-year-old named Gout who threw down a 20.77 in the heats of the World Junior 200 meter. Gout, very fast. Have no idea where Gout is from. Probably need to look into it. But 16-year-old Gout.
And what was Garcia's comment? Off. Like, Joe's favorite. Something like that.
He said, Rexy's fave.
Rexy's fave.
I got to say that.
So shout out to Gout.
Yes. I got to say that is that's an even better name than God Sham God.
Yeah.
Which might be the greatest name ever.
Yes. All right. Tennessee fans, specifically Vol Twitter, I have a lot of love for you. In some ways, I'm one of you. I am an esteemed colleague of Vol Twitter. Okay.
You're all in, man.
I very much have love, deep respect, and admiration for Vol Twitter. Can we wait until Tennessee plays one football game before they start laying down the score of everybody they're going to beat? That's all I'm asking. Can they play one football game? Like, can they play one game? But I mean, the amount of, well, Tennessee's going to beat NC State by 60. Tennessee is going to score 75 points on NC State. I don't know that NC State is going to score on Tennessee. I don't think Grayson McCall can score on Tennessee. Can we see them play one football game before we get into all this? Just one. I'm not even asking you to wait until like week six. Just one football game. Can we see them play one time before we get into all this?
Also, like more than one series of NC State's game?
Yeah. Because a lot of these started flying off.
One play?
I mean, we were getting tweets with 7 minutes and 30 seconds left in the first quarter last night. And I was like, well, we're about 7 minutes into the game. Can we please wait on that? So that's part number one of this. Can we wait until Tennessee plays a football game before we actually get this level of you-know-what talking going on Vol Twitter? Number two, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, Joe, but they've done some renovations apparently in Neyland, and some of these have involved the bathrooms. And I guess – I don't know that all of them have been knocked out. I don't know. I would doubt it, but maybe. We'll see. But apparently a lot of the troughs in the men's bathroom have been knocked out with some of the renovations that have taken place here. And boy, are some people mad about that. There's just this nice long thread on Vol Twitter, at Normal Vol Fan in all caps, terrible decision with the horse troughs now out of there, the bathroom. One member of Vol Twitter, at Bearcat Vol, an administration that doesn't care anything about history, ripping the horse troughs out of there in the men's restroom.
Fired Danny White. How did he get this raise?
Now, as you can imagine, many opposing fan bases having a lot of fun with this. I mean, there's a Georgia fan on here that says this explains everything about their fans, every single bit of it. But there are some Tennessee fans apparently really upset that the horse troughs in the men's restroom are being taken out. To which my response is, guys, it's 2024. I'm sure that was lovely back in 1950, but I really don't want to be standing next to some dude peeing into a trough at Neyland Stadium. It just doesn't sound fun to me. I've done it. It's fine. It is what it is. You get in there, you do your business, you get out of there. But like the amount of people who are legitimately upset about the horse troughs, and I don't even know if all of them are gone. I think they've just done renovations on some of them, right? I could be wrong about that. But the amount of people that are upset about the horse trough is slightly concerning to me. It's okay to get rid of that. It's okay to modernize sometimes.
What? So
it does. It's not going to change the integrity of Neyland Stadium.
So it's just like a tradition thing? I really like when I'm rubbing against someone while we both pee. Like what?
There's no divider, and they're right next to us, and it brings us all together.
Is it just because you can get? I mean, you can get more people peeing at once when you have a trough. Right?
I would assume.
I don't know
if studies have been done on that.
It's not a tradition thing. Please tell me it's not a Tennessee football lore thing.
Well, people are acting like it is. They're upset that the troughs are either totally out of there or in the process of being removed. And I think there are maybe some legitimate things in college football happening nowadays, tradition-wise, to get upset about. I don't know that the horse troughs are one of them when you're trying to take a whiz around several hundred other people.
I really don't like going in a trough. It's really not an enjoyable experience.
Just saying, man.
Spartan Stadium's got those.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember. I took one of my kids in there, and it was like, what is this? And I was like, yeah, we don't have our own urinals. Just go find a spot.
Yeah.
Do your business. What the heck? I got it. So this became a Vol Twitter.
The one that really got me yesterday was at Bearcat Vol, an administration that doesn't care anything about history. That's an incredible comment when it relates to the horse troughs in Neyland Stadium.
My urine is part of history.
These guys, that Josh Heupel and Danny White, don't give a damn about the history of Tennessee because they're taking out the horse troughs.
Oh, wow. I don't know. I can't. I don't even know where to go with this.
Vol Twitter is its own place. And I'm just saying, this is a lot of fodder to have not played a single football game yet.
There's always a lot of takes, right?
College football is the greatest thing on the earth. Like it is awesome, and I'm so glad that the full force of Vol Twitter is leaning into it this year because it's going to be special. Either way it goes, like if they melt down and don't have a good year, I mean, the takes are going to be just astounding. And if they're we've talked about this before, but if and when the day comes where Tennessee's really, 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 really good at football again on a consistent basis, the level of annoyance that Vol Twitter is going to cause to other people is going to be pretty unreal.
I mean, the level – well, I'm trying to remember, like, how bad was it? It got pretty intense 2 years ago, right? Like, once that – but, yes, like, if they win a championship or something, that's obviously never happened in the era of Twitter. Yeah. I mean, well, it's going to be something to behold.
I need somebody, because I'm not going to be there tomorrow. I need somebody. I'm sure there's somebody listening right now that's going to the Tennessee-Chattanooga game tomorrow. I need you to report back. Can you find a restroom with a trough still in it? Or have they totally gutted this thing? Like, is this because I don't know the answer. I know that they've gutted some. But what's like? What's the percentage of the bathrooms that are trough-free now?
So, again, I'm just trying to understand why, like, you prefer a trough. I guess there's no flushing, so you don't have to get your hands involved other than, like, how they have to be involved, I hope. Right? Like, or do you just stand next to someone and see what happens?
Like, I mean,
you got a large margin for error, I guess, with a trough.
Yeah, I mean, I don't how much conversation takes place in there, too? It's like, hey, man, why don't you just turn around and focus on what you're doing in there? You don't have to talk at me while we're in here.
This is like, I mean, the very reduced version of this is, as I've ranted before, the Jacksonville Jaguars, whatever their crappy stadium is called, men's room in the press box, where they have the sink right next to the urinal with no divider.
Hey, like, man, you washing your hands over there?
Yeah.
How's it going?
I guess I'll stand way over on this side of the sink so there's no crossing of the streams. Great topic.
Let me read this again just for the final time. At Bearcat Ball. An administration that doesn't care anything about history.
how many followers? Like, is Bearcat Ball
know.
A prominent member of Vol Twitter?
I mean, I think I've seen him on there before.
I'm not familiar with Bearcat
but
Ball.
That could be my favorite Twitter comment of all time. An administration that doesn't care anything about history in response to the
like, I got to find this guy. Because are there mentions? Does he explain why no, this is such an important part?
He's just responding to the tweet. An administration.
Like, Peyton Manning, T. Martin, Philip Fulmer, Johnny Majors.
They wouldn't stand for this.
General Nealand, and me peeing in a trough.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Teron Davenport will join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans. And Joe Rexroad, the first week of football season. Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30.
Oh, boy.
Get excited. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.